You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
Found like 12 fractional grams. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill. And I'm afraid to tell you that that Tom wasn't able to make it tonight. You know, Tom is in this kind of a travel mode. And sometimes he's in good areas and sometimes he's not. And he's not in a good area right now. So, and as I told you many times, we test out about an hour before showtime to make sure that everything works, especially with his link. And we kept dropping off, so we decided I'd just take the show tonight, and he'll be back next week. But he's just in an area that has very poor reception. You're driving through the, you know, when you go through the mountainous areas and stuff, it's very difficult. But I would like to put a shout-out out there to all of our listeners, all the people out there on the chat room. Thank you for your participation. I try to answer the questions, but normally during showtime is difficult for me to do that. I got about three different computers that I'm working on here, trying to keep things moving on the show and trying to monitor the streams and make sure that the show's up and everything. But what I try to do is after the show is over is try to respond or reply as well. When Tom and I are both on, he a lot of times he'll monitor it, And of course, then you know, we can answer your questions. I apologize for not being able to do that. I'm not a multi-talented type of a person, I guess. I'd like to thank all the people out there that sent emails in this past week and actually called in on the hotline. We had a couple of crank calls, but you know, that's normal. Usually, young kids out there trying to have a good time. I guess school started this week in a lot of places, so maybe they were frustrated at going to school. I don't know, but we take the calls anyway and try to get through it. We have had some. The hotline has been pretty active, and calls from all over. My gosh, guys, I want to tell you. Let's see. Well, we got one. You know, one real nice guy on tonight. He called me yesterday, as a matter of fact. It's Chris from Connecticut. But we also have, if you remember, John from Massachusetts. We had a couple calls. One from another one from Michigan. Had one from Mississippi. Had another from Florida. Had another from Alabama. Alabama out there in Alabama. So you know, this is the what we call the migration period of these creatures. And again, I say creatures, and a lot of times people, I guess some people try to make specific. Our original view of Bigfoot, and we call everything Bigfoot, but there are actual several different species out there that we're aware of right now that we've been able to identify, not as a species, but identify that they're different than each other. And they have different DNA. We know that. We have DNA on them. And it also changes the look of the creature and the size of the creature. Okay? And, in fact, we're going to get into a discussion tonight with one of our guests about that very thing. A lot of people out there are afraid sometimes when we're talking about these creatures. If you see something that's not in the ordinary, and everybody thinks that the Bigfoot is, you know, the solid 9 foot, 8 foot, 9 foot, tall creature, big, heavy, thick neck, no neck, shoulders, pointy head. But there are, and some of them, they'll recognize it as kind of a near human kind of a face, but flat. Another, they'll recognize it closer to an ape kind of a looking animal or orangutan type creature. All different kinds of descriptions that we've gathered here. I can tell you that over the last 7, 8 years now, it's 8 years, gosh, 8 years. You know, this week marks our 8 years of Bigfoot Live. And in those 8 years, I've interviewed somewhere about, I know it's over 600 people now. And from every single state that you can name here, plus Canada, Australia, even. We had a couple of times we had people from Australia on our show. Had another guy from Europe on our show quite a ways back. We haven't had a report from Hawaii yet, but so it's pretty widespread. And the names throughout the world are different. There's so many different names. There's, you know, of course, Native American names that go from most of the tribe. Almost every tribe that I'm aware of has a name for Bigfoot, and it's in their legend, and it's in their and to most, it's a spiritual creature. It usually has it can vary depending on the tribe to be either a good spirit or an evil spirit, or, you know, kind of a demon type of a spirit or a good spirit. It depends on the tribe and it depends on the circumstances that's there. There are legends that go back for years and hundreds of years about these creatures, where they have either kidnapped children and women from the tribes. We've had an incident here 2 months ago where we actually... by accident, had a call from a gentleman, and his wife, a creature had taken his wife away, and after 2 days they found her, and she had been violated, she's having a lot of psychiatric treatment right now, and of course that individual is pretty well broken down, and of course he had never come on the show, and I don't blame him a bit. But we've consoled him and called him and kept in touch with him over the past couple of months, and he's getting there. But I never would have dreamed that anything like that could happen, but it did. And the police are the people that found the woman out there in the middle of nowhere, sitting there all deranged, and they brought her back. And he was happy that his wife wasn't found dead. But so there's many, many things that we don't know. That's what I'm trying to say. We don't know about these creatures. There's many people out there that would say that they know everything about them and that they're only one kind, and or that there's a lot of people out there that don't believe it, period. And that's okay, because there's nothing wrong with that. I couldn't criticize anybody for not believing this, because we ourselves didn't believe it in the beginning, until we actually came face to face with one. And obviously then it's a done deal. And that's, that's how it works. And that's what works with both people. But anyway, we're going to get on tonight. We have a very good show tonight, a good cross range of some of the people that have been with us for a while, reports from events that have taken place in the past week. And so what we're going to try to do right now is we're going to go out here to Connecticut, and we're going to talk to our first guest, Chris. Chris, how are you tonight?
How's it going?
Oh, we're doing great, Chris. Chris, you and your best friend had an incident here recently. Could you basically just kind of tell us in your own words what took place, when, and some of the and what happened?
Well, you see, about 3 weeks to 3.5 weeks ago, me and my friend, we were walking to go meet up with our other friend, Scott, in the middle of the night. And we were walking, and then we get to his driveway, and we're just standing there waiting for him to come outside. And we were there for a good 10, 15 minutes, and we didn't notice anything at first. And then I look over into the bush, and I go, "Billy, do you see those eyes? Do you see those orange-yellow eyes just staring at us?" And there's just this 9-foot figure just in the shrub right about 25 feet away from us, just standing there staring at us. And I told my friend, I said, "Move away slowly, try to get into the light, do something," because this thing was just staring at us, and it was close. And we moved over to the light, and then we saw the figure start walking around the backyard of the house that it was by. And then we see it climb to the top of a tree, and in the light, I just see the hairy back on it, and then it goes from tree to tree, and it was gone in an instant. It was one of the most crazy things I've ever seen, ever experienced in my entire life.
Yeah, and it went tree to tree, right?
Yeah.
It climbed up in the tree, and it went tree to tree, which is pretty neat, because that's one of the few times that we have very few reports that they've actually been in the trees. I mean, we have reports that they're in the trees, but this is a good one because you were able to see it actually trend. And a lot of people, ask these questions about, well, how come we don't see any footprints and things? And some of the times, if they're in the trees, it's very, very common conclusion. They could be, traversing between the trees like Tarzan, And
this thing was very big, too, very big.
Yeah.
It was halfway.
Did it make a commotion when it went through the trees, Chris?
Yeah, it was rustling. It kept rocking the tree back and forth. It climbed about a good 15-foot pine tree, and it was just shaking on that for a good minute, and then it moved to the next tree.
Wow!
It was just amazing. Just to see it in the light too was just crazy. To see the brownish red tint, and it was just, oh my gosh. You don't believe it until you see it, and it was amazing.
I understand. Now, Well, one thing I'd like to do publicly is I'd like to welcome you to the world of Bigfoot. And,
thank
of course,
you.
You're on in our family now, and if you so desire. And obviously we'll keep in touch with you always.
Oh,
but what
of course.
What I wanted to also ask you, Chris, was this. You know, you had some previous experiences as well, and when you've seen this, you kind of put things together, right?
Yeah. Well, me and my
what
friend,
what can you tell us about that?
The other day, we were sitting just in the woods. We were just we were setting up bait traps for squirrels and rabbits and stuff like that, little snares. And we were in the woods, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just these rocks were getting pelted at us. And we heard these loud whooping noises from one, I don't know if it was a bit, I don't know what makes a whooping noise, but it definitely wasn't a bird. And there was two of them just making these loud whooping noises, and rocks were getting thrown at us. And we just heard loud limbs just cracking in the background, too. And we were hiding behind, like, this rock wall. And the rocks were coming from just anywhere. And they weren't, like, small rocks. They were big-sized rocks, too. And I feel like we were right next to it somewhere. We just couldn't see it.
Sure, no, I understand.
And then we got up behind the rock wall, and we were near these power lines. And my friend Scott goes, "Do you see that way off in the distance?" And he says he saw a big furry back just walking back into the wilderness, but I didn't see anything, but that's what he told me.
Wow.
So
that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
So in a matter of a couple of days, you guys...
I think in between a good 3 weeks up until now, I've had quite a bit of experience with this thing. And see, the thing is,
tell us
I don't
about
know
some of the tree
is.
Formations and tree things that you've seen.
Oh,
yeah. That you didn't notice before.
When we went back to the site where the rocks were, we noticed there was just bark ripped off this tree about a good 12 feet up the tree, just ripped off by just something. And we've seen a bunch of broken trees, like a bunch of broken limbs, like way up there, like something that's not humanly possible. It's just, and I had no explanation for it. I was just at a loss for words. I didn't know how to explain it.
Oh my gosh. Since this happened, Chris, we call it, have you been bitten by the Bigfoot bug?
I guess you could say it's crawling around me right now.
Yeah.
It's close to me.
Well, we've got a lot of people like that. We're like that ourselves. If you don't, that's all right, too. It's not a requirement.
Oh, I'm very interested in Bigfoot. I think I'm happy to be a part of the family. I'm happy to help you in any way we can to find and actually name this species or find it or find out how it lives, how it lives in its habitat, like what it does. It's amazing that there's a creature out there that we haven't found yet.
I know. It's really amazing. And a lot of people, you know, are non-believers. I mean, they think it's all bunked. And they think everything's fake. And, of course, if you went on the Internet and you were to try to, you know, Google all this stuff, you'd come up with 90% garbage, as you probably know. But there's a lot of real stuff in that garbage, and you have to sift through it. And there are a lot of people out there looking around now.
There's a lot of people that believe, along with the people that don't.
Sure.
So
there are. And quite a few, almost everybody that we know that has, we do these expeditions, every so often. And as we do expeditions, a lot of times people would like to go on the expedition with us just to experience it. But we travel pretty hard. I mean, it's a pretty rough thing. I mean, it's not like you just go out there and, you know, we're going to
and
stay
you find
in a hotel.
Them, you know,
go out there in the real rough, and it's not like you're going to eat really good meals.
Yeah.
Or sleep in a really good bed or something. And there's no sleep. Sleep deprivation happens to be a major part of our expedition experiences. But a lot of the people, every person we've had go with us has come back. And they went out a skeptic and come back a believer.
Yeah.
Because there's always, I think, almost every time we've been out there, if we've not had a visual, there's been a lot of other corroborating evidence.
Oh, yeah.
Footprints, hair,
loud noises.
Areas. Yep. Howls,
loud noises
yells.
And,
They can mimic other animals very well.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I know they can. I've heard a lot of whistling too. There's a lot of whistling.
Yep, whistles are absolutely whistles. Yep.
Yeah.
So you're in the. I think this is the migration period. You described to me that where you live, in around those areas that you're at, there are a lot of water. There's a lot of water.
Yeah, there's a lot of brooks, a lot of lakes, a lot of small lakes, and there's just a lot of mountainous terrain that nobody climbs every single day. And
sure.
It's a perfect place.
I know.
There's a lot of fresh water. Well, I saw a deer today, too. I mean, I've been out there. There's a lot of animals out here. I mean, you never know what could be in there.
I know. Now,
yeah.
When your friend comes back, your friend's on vacation right now.
Yeah, he'll be on next Wednesday.
Yeah, no problem. We'll have you back on here. And probably then, maybe if you go back out there, you might have some more stuff to report to
us. Yeah, I plan on doing that. I actually went out there today.
Super.
In preparation.
Well, I appreciate I want to thank you so much for calling us on the Bigfoot Hotline and sharing your experience with us. It's a very difficult thing for some people. Some people just absolutely will not come on the show. And I can understand that because
they're
afraid of
being.
Well, I appreciate it, Chris.
A
lot.
If somebody has a passion, I don't mind helping them find whatever they're looking for. I mean, it just anything helps.
Well, I'll tell you what. We can use every bit of help we can get because and that's the only way that we're going to finally resolve this riddle.
Yeah.
You know? Well, Chris, we're going to go on to our next guest, and I'm going to see you next week. But stay on the line, and at the end of the show, we have a question and answer period about 5 minutes or so, and somebody may want to ask you a question, or you may want to ask one of the guests a question. We'll have all the other guests on here.
Sounds good.
Thank you for coming on, and I'm going to mute you out.
No problem.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Chris from Connecticut. Super guy. He and his friend. We're going to go to a commercial here, and then we're going to be right back, and we're going to go talking with Tim. Tim from Florida. Here we go, the commercial.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery. And deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, folks. Well, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, 2008 in August, and this is, my gosh, it's August. And on August 15th of 2008, CNN review of a big public news conference with about 200 or 300 news people there, and we had these two guys from Georgia that came up and they're gonna turn over a Bigfoot body to us, and of course that, as you know, ended up being a hoax. We reported it to the news media, and one of the things that we did is we videographed the whole event of everything that happened and what really happened. And, of course, after something like that happens, there's 100 different stories, 100 different things, so many distortions. I mean, it's hard. You know, you go to the Internet, you just absolutely cannot believe anything you see on the Internet or hear on the Internet. Nothing. I mean, sometimes it's true, but most of the time it's just passing somebody else's story around, and you never know what you're getting. So I usually don't use that as a reference. Usually if I see something on the Internet that interests me, I'll try to contact the individuals who sent the story out and try to confirm it. And then once you talk to the real individuals about it, most of the time it ends up being not exactly the way it was portrayed on the internet either. There are other things that were left out. So it's a good thing. And but anyway, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, you can get it on our website, shoppingforbigfoot.com. You can go to amazon.com. Almost any of the stores out there has it now. It's being distributed to 4,000 different stores throughout the United States and Canada. It's on. You can play it on VOD. They have it on the cable channels. Take a look and take a look at it. About 15 million people or so on the cable, and take a look, see what it's about. Anyway, we're going to go out here now to Tim from Florida. Our good friend Tim is going to follow up with what his expedition was this past week. Tim, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
Well, you got back yesterday.
Yeah, we got back from a rare summertime expedition in the Green Swamp of Florida. And it is rare that you can get out there in late August, because if you ever watch the Weather Channel or anything, you know we're going into the peak of hurricane season. And this is where we have the most abundance of rain and storms. And we should have encountered a lot of rain and a lot of mosquitoes and a lot of whatever, but the conditions could not have been better. There were no bugs other than the flies that were trying to get our picnic food. And it was a clear night with a full moon, and there was no rain. And I understood that while we were out in the Green Swamp, which is in Pasco County, a county over from Tampa, that Tampa and St. Petersburg, Florida, were just bombed with squall lines, 60-mile-an-hour winds and rain and whatever. But we had none of that. So
wow.
Like somebody was looking out for us. They wanted us to go out there. And it was a great expedition. We got into the areas that we wanted to go into, in a place we call Skunk Ape Mountain, which is kind of a joke if you live in any other state other than Florida. The elevation is probably about 250 feet above sea level. But
right.
It's one of our state. But we call it Skunk Ape Mountain because it is slightly elevated, and you do have some visibility from there. And we did a stakeout, and we filmed the tree lines and whatever. And there was one particular area in that we've worked this area multiple times, and we've honed in on where the hot spot is. And we've come up with this area that I call Bigfoot Triangle. And all the activity seems to be coming out of there. And that's where I shot a video last October 31st, Halloween, actually, of a Bigfoot that was moving behind the Palmetto line. And I put it up on YouTube. In fact, Matt Moneymaker, BFRO, saw the video, and he tweeted that he believed that it was authentic, that it was real. And he believed that I had a good capture, which I did. And I got something the other day that I put up on YouTube just a couple of hours ago.
Uh-huh.
And what the title of it is on YouTube is Bigfoot Predator, like the movie Predator.
Sure.
Whatever was filming just seemed to be able to just appear and disappear, or like a chameleon morph itself into the background. And I don't know if that's through evolutionary processes, environmental adaptation, that it was really weird. And I put the unedited video up, and I've gotten some positive comments on it. It's only been up a couple of hours. And it's enough to intrigue us, because all the activity we ever get is in that area. And what's unique about it is Tom Piscardi, he came down to Florida 2 years ago on Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
And he worked with me and Dave and I, in an area of the Green Swamp, which is basically on the opposite side of where we were at, which is very close to where we were at. And we have this documentary team that's going to be working with us on Halloween, the day before, and on Halloween Day itself, which you were mentioning migration season.
Sure.
A little while ago. Well, Florida is the last state that has migration season because of the weather, and it's normally when the first cold front comes through probably the last week of October.
Right.
And we've gone to this area 3 years in a row. We found this massive trackway of footprints. I had the Bigfoot sighting video. We recorded the audio. How we've gotten evidence every time we've gone into this area. And I did a video where I invited Matt Moneymaker to bring his production crew to come in here on that date because there's going to be evidence to be found. And I haven't heard from him. But I wanted to extend an opportunity to Tom. I know he's a busy guy and all this, but if it's possible that he could come down on the day before Halloween,
sure,
that he could work with my team, and there's another team from North Florida that's coming down, and the production guys out of Sarasota, so there's about a dozen people just right there. And if Tom could come down and spend at least 2 days here, two nights, he's going to come away himself with some really good stuff, because this is a prime area. The Green Swamp is well known among Bigfoot and skunk ape researchers as one of the prime areas for the skunk ape.
And Tim, he needs to get down there. He also needs to stop by Mississippi. There's a couple of places that we need to take a look at
south
during this time, because there's a lot of activity going on here in the last, couple of months.
Right, the third and fourth week of October is really when they're active.
That's when they're active coming back down. They're going to come to Florida to get out of the cold on the northern states.
Right. And we were talking about Scott Marlow the other day. He developed that theory, and Tom developed it as well, because I heard it from both sources.
Sure.
That they move during certain times of the year. When the cold snap comes in, they head south, and then when the warm weather hits, they head north.
They'll head north.
I've pretty much figured it out. It's when the Masters Golf Tournament is being held in Georgia.
Well, one of the things, here's another thing, Tim, that we've associated with this. We've taken a look at all these different areas from reports from various people and sightings, and and they seem to follow the waterways north and south, where there's waterways. And so there's water, food, and shelter. And it's,
oh, absolutely.
So they seem to follow those paths. In every path, every sighting we've had during the migration period, we've looked around, and in those areas are plenty of water going north and south, a river, creeks,
right,
lakes, things like that are on the way, and they
not to interrupt you, Scott, but I'm not Scott. I mean, excuse me, Marco Bill. If you look at a map of Florida, there's three major rivers, which are the Hillsborough, the Withlacoochee, and the Suwannee River. They're all fed out of the same watershed, which is the Green Swamp area. That Green Swamp area supplies about 70% of the drinking water to the state of Florida.
Right.
And because of that, it's not a mystery that that's where the majority of these Bigfoot sightings are occurring, is in this Green Swamp area, because of water, food, vegetation, cover, et cetera. And it's a 40,000 square acre complex that encompasses like five counties in Florida. It's massive.
Yeah, I know.
And most of it has never been explored.
I know that too. You know, we had a gentleman on here about a month ago, and he doesn't live in Florida now, but back then he was, and he was he operated a drag line out there in the swamp area.
Yeah.
And he actually had a creature come up and go after him, and he had a shotgun, and he shot in the air, and the creature started coming after him. And then his father-in-law came and just happened to get there in time and picked him up. And he said, drive, and he drove out of there. And then the next day he went in and he told the people, the boss and everybody that. And he said, oh, yeah, that's kind of common around here. And he said, they ain't coming to me. I'm quitting. And he quit. But he said that they seen like 12 to 15 of those creatures sitting around way down there in the when they were operating the drag line, and he often wondered what it was. And, you know, so, I mean, there's lots of stuff out there that we don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what I was trying to do is trying to get him, what I'd like to do is get him in touch with you and have him tell you where that particular area might be. I mean,
yeah,
that's 10 years ago.
Yeah, it sounds like phosphate mining. There's a lot of phosphate mining going on in Central Florida. If you mentioned the drag line, that's probably what that was going on. It may
have been
Northern Polk County. Northern Polk County, I'm pretty sure I might know where that area is. And there's been a lot of skunk ape sightings in there. And but anyway, it was a very good outing, very successful, and we got some night operations and didn't find anything at night. You know, you can't, when you go on these expeditions, you just can't dial up Bigfoot. He either shows up or he doesn't show up.
That's right.
And do the guys always find Bigfoot when they go out? I mean, they're faking. They gotta be. But we did have a good time, and the weather was beyond beautiful, unbelievable that you could, this late in August you could go out there and do what we did. So we feel blessed by that. I'm still looking at the video. Still putting up five videos already today on YouTube, and more.
That's pretty good.
And
do me a favor, Tim. Send me the link or a link so that what I can do is put that on the website.
Yeah, I will. Absolutely.
Yeah, just send it to me. That way I can put it up there and we can have it up there where people can, well, you know, if they come up to our webpage, they can link to your thing there to see all that stuff.
Well, I have, if you can have time, give me a call this week.
Sure will.
I would appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll do that. Well, you're going to hang on, aren't you?
The guy's name is Ron, is it Ron Pearl?
Say again?
Tom's right-hand man, is that Ron Pearl or?
You talking about Bill?
Rob? No,
Bill
Rob.
Coffey? Oh, Rob is no longer with us. He had to move to a different state. He's no longer with us anymore because he had to move to a different, he had to move out. He got a job offer and had a really good, he couldn't, and he had a.
All right.
So basically.
He came down here with
Bill
Mitch Coffey.
Ray. Yeah, we got Bill Coffey and a couple other guys that are with us and been with us for quite a while.
Yeah, I met Bill. He's a tall fellow.
Yeah.
And I met Rob and Mitch Waite when they came down here. And they
worked
with in the area in the Green Swamp that I took Tom. But I do want to extend an invitation. It's possible that he could make it down here for the Halloween migration.
Sure.
And he won't
I'll contact
him. I know it's a long way to go from San Francisco. I know that. But you said that he was planning on hitting the South during that period of time. So
yeah, well, that's what we're trying to do. Actually, we were trying to do one earlier than that, but. Some other things caught up with him and wouldn't let him go. So, and that's what happens. I mean, sometimes. But we'll do that, Tim, and I'll contact him and let him know, and he'll give you a call. Well, we're running short on time. You're going to stay till the end of the show here? Can you stay till the end of the show?
Talk to you later, Marco.
Okay, can you stay till the end of the show?
Probably, I don't know. I'll see. I'm cooking some dinner right now, actually.
Okay. That's
best.
Okay. No problem. Thanks, Tim,
you
for coming on.
Me. Go ahead and mute me off. All right. Thank you.
Okay, well, take care. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Tim Vassano from Florida. We're going to go back out here and hold on a couple seconds. I lost my place. We're going to go back out here to Anthony from Virginia. And Anthony's had a lot of things going on here in the past month or so. Anthony, how are you, my friend?
Doing well, Marco Bill. A little tired, but hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for coming on. I know you get to work late all the time here. Especially when there's all this weather and stuff.
Yeah.
Electricity is important.
Oh, yeah.
Air conditioning and other things like that.
That's right.
Well, why don't you tell us what's going on?
Well, you know, just to go in line with that earlier guest having his the creature that he saw, the, you know, swinging around
Chris?
The trees.
You're talking about Chris,
Chris.
In, from
yeah,
Connecticut?
Chris.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, you know, I went back to my friend's place that, you know, that originally, if you remember, he doesn't want me to reveal his name or where the location.
Yeah.
But he's the one that also saw the, you know, creature swinging in the trees every day when he first moved into the area. You know,
I know. That's why I said it's a rare occasion. I mean, it's not an everyday thing that we get a report from creatures in the trees.
Yeah.
I have videos of it. But, I mean, there are very few reports. There have been a couple. I've had about five in the last year out of all the hundreds we've had. So.
Right. Well, you know, we were out there this past Friday, and, you know, I was out there with a parabolic dish, and, you know, I was out there with a thermal camera, too. It was on loan, and I thought I was taking some pictures, but evidently the pictures didn't come out. You know, it was eventful evening. It wasn't, you know, very eventful, but, you know, it wasn't a waste of time either. You know, we did hear some calls coming out, but what was probably the spookiest thing of the night was that we were able to hear something walking in the distance, but it was like walking very slow. But we, you know, we couldn't see anything, you know. It was nothing, you know, it was far enough so that, you know, we just couldn't see anything. It was very, very well concealed, you know, in the wooded area. But we knew something was there. It was just like walking, you know, just, you know. And might almost want to say that, you know, it was definitely keeping an eye on us more than we were trying to get an eye on it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of eerie, yeah. Especially if you got something coming towards you and you're not sure if it's coming towards you or away from you or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there were, we did have his dog with us, and there was a few times that it would, like, run into the woods, but then it would come back. Yeah. Yeah.
God.
And then it would never, you know, then as we kind of sensed that it was, you know, I mean, I might be wrong, but, you know, I kind of got the feeling that it might have been closer because it stopped running into the woods. You know, it would not go into the woods anymore. It just kind of, like, sat between us, you know, towards the end of the evening.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, a lot of the dogs, as you've heard on a lot of the guests we've had on, has had dogs with them. They seem to have, they weren't as brave.
Yeah.
Even the trained attack dogs, you know, the hunting dogs, right? They seem to want to get away from, go under the house, go hide, lay down and with their tail between their legs.
The
only time I've seen a dog that really wanted to attack it was a little chihuahua that a guy had on a campsite out there in Alabama, North Carolina. And, and he said the dog attacked the creature, seen the creature beating a stump, you know, beating a tree with a kind of another big limb, right? And the dog took off after it, howling and running like crazy, and, you know, barking. And the creature whapped it and went rolling about 30 feet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then the dog just shook himself off and was going to go back and attack him again. Those little things are, I can't believe those little chihuahuas. They're so doggone aggressive. But then the creature picked it up and threw it. And when he picked it up and threw it, that kind of hurt him a little bit. So the guy picked the dog up, and they ran like heck and got in their truck and took off. And they left everything out there in the camping thing and took off. And they went back, and he had the dog taken a look at the next day, the veterinarian, and then they went back to the campsite the next day and picked up their stuff.
Yeah, I'll probably come back a day later.
Yeah, I know, he called me that night when he got home, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. But Well, anyway, thanks, Anthony, for telling us what's going on out there. I really appreciate you coming on to do this. But on a week-to-week basis, we can get an idea that there are little things that are happening every week, and it seems that these creatures that you have in your area there, it's just like Tehran. Tehran has the same kind of an issue where there's all right in the same areas right there where he's at. It's you guys have the same kind of thing. You have a hot spot, and it seems that there's probably a pod or a family of these creatures, and they're there, and they're staying there. So that's a pretty neat thing. Yes, I'm going to mute you out. You're going to stay on for the end?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We'll be right back then with you in just a few minutes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Anthony from Virginia. We're going to go out here to Tehran. And Tehran is our good buddy out here on the Choctaw Reservation in Mississippi. Tehran, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Marco Bill, what about you?
I'm doing good. Why don't you tell us how you what's happening in your area out there?
Okay, there was a sighting behind my cousin's house in a community which is about 25 miles out from where I live, and my uncle passed away, and we had his funeral, and he was there, and I sat down and talked to him, and he said, yeah, he seen this creature walking past his back of his yard, you know, and he said it was at night, and the moon was full, and he could just see a figure of this big animal that was just walking past behind his house and walked into the pasture area and just sort of disappeared into the woods. And that was this happened about 3 weeks, a month ago or something like that. But I was doing my presentation, you know, with my job this morning. And that took me 45 miles away from my home. So, after I made my presentation, a young man came over and said, "We seen Bigfoot," you know. And I thought he was joking, you know, because the other guy started laughing, you know. And he was dead serious. He said there was a small Bigfoot, and he was telling me about it, and I told him, and we talked about the white Bigfoot that was spotted there.
Right.
This one person who just passed away recently, and he's the one that told me that he was working around the yard behind his house, and he was picking something up, and when he did, he looked up, and there was this white hairy creature, big, tall, and huge senator just watching him. And he said he stood up and they looked at each other for a long time before the creature turned around and walked into the woods. But, we've had, sightings here left and right here in the past year here. So, there's these creatures still running around here, I'm just so excited and so thrilled to hear about these encounters that people tell me. And I get calls, and people come and tell me their encounters and sightings, you know, all the time now.
That's good.
Yeah, since Tom and them came over the first time when they saw the Bigfoot Incorporated logo on the trailer. People would just stop and just, you know, tell us their encounters and, sightings, you know. So we got some activities going on. I think the real recent one was about 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago now. The lady that called me and Tom and I can't remember, Bill Coffey or...
Oh, it was Bill Coffey, yeah.
Yeah, we went to
and Chico,
the lady, and she's got pear trees behind her house, and she said the creature every now and then will when the pear are coming up, the creature will come over and eat the pears, you know. And she said that her first sighting was when she was a little girl, and she's lived in that area all her life. And her family had the vegetable garden back there, and the creature would eat the vegetables, too, tomatoes and beans and whatever he could eat, you know. And he said, well, she said that when she was a little girl, she had her first sighting there, and he said that when the creature turned around and saw saw her, it was rocking back and forth. It was going back and forth sideways. He'd come to the left, and then he'd go to the right, you know. But she said that ever since then, she's had regular sightings at her area since she was little. And I think this woman is about 50 years old now. So he told me 2 weeks ago that the creature came and ate some of her pears. So
wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So you you just keep on going all the time down there.
Yeah.
Same area down there. Your mother's house and around the... I mean, you've had quite a few in the past 2 years there, quite a few.
Yes, we have. And the sightings continue, you know. So, my sister had, saw, was it last year or a year and a half ago, a group of them, not just one, but a group of them. She thought the two big ones were... Mom and Dad, and the two or three little ones were the kids, you know. So, I'm just so excited and thrilled that, you know, these creatures are alive and doing well. And one thing we like to do here on the Choctaw Indian Reservation, and it's the consensus of the people, that these creatures are to be protected. And
Sure. I mean that's an obvious thing we need to take mm-hmm. a good view on as well. I mean, everybody should. And I'll tell you why. Tyrone, in my view, this is my own personal opinion. It's not the opinion of anybody else but mine.
Mm-hmm.
But we look at the evidence that we've collected through these past years,
right.
And we've got quite a few DNA, both hair, skin.
Mm-hmm.
We got a toenail. We have another that's the jawbone and tooth from the skeleton. Mm-hmm. Here's what we found out. And we also had some evidence from hair and skin from another place. And here's what we found out. Some of the evidence comes up human. It doesn't come up a normal human, okay? It comes up ancient human. Now, we don't have, you just can't put all your eggs in a basket on one sample. You have to have a series of samples of different things to be able to establish any kind of a scientific credibility of that. And we don't have the scientific credibility because we're not scientists. But what we do is we do gather this evidence, and we keep it, okay?
Well, these creatures seem like they didn't evolve.
What was proven to us is, and we're going to, in fact, when we go next year to Mac, there are several different species of this creature.
Oh, yeah.
And we know, we're pretty sure of that right now, and it's based on DNA. We have one DNA sample that is two genomes from being human, and it's not ape. It's been classified as not an ape, not a human. It's an unknown species. We have another one that's completely different. They don't match any of the other ones we have, but it's not ape and it's not human. It's unidentified. Okay? So we have another one that we did have classified, and it did come up with a match. Okay, and it wasn't human. It wasn't. It was an extinct billy ape.
Ah.
Which is a large ape, about 6 foot. It's like a chimpanzee type of an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're very strong. They're very big. But in our country, why would you get something like that? And they don't exist anymore. I mean, that big. And there's different things. So we call them all Bigfoot. That's because there's nothing else to call them. But
the video that I saw last year, it was a clear picture. Well, a video of a creature that was just standing. The video was taken about, I think, about 50 yards away from where the videotaker was standing. And we studied the video, and it was just standing there, and it kept on turning its head to the right. And we studied it, and we ruled out that it's not a bear, because we don't have, brown bears in Mississippi. We may have black bears, but this thing was kind of reddish brown in color.
Right. Yep.
And it stood like a man, it had arms like a man, and it walked like a man. Another thing that we noticed, that the face wasn't flat. It was stuck out like a snout, you know.
Right. In fact, you know what? What we're going to do, Tyrone, is when Mac comes on here, that's what Mac's going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, why don't you?
Mac's on tonight.
Yep, Mac's right after you. How about this? We're going to open it up for Mac, and then we'll get Mac going, and then we'll open it up for everybody, because there's a couple of things I want to make sure everybody understands. And the reason I bring up these species things is so that everybody can understand that there are different species of this. We'll call it Bigfoot because we don't have anything else to call it. I mean, there's none of them are known species, right? So they come under one category. But, even the lizard man that's known in the swamp area down there in, was it South Carolina, has been, active the past years or so. We went down and investigated it, and we have pictures of that doggone thing biting the front end of the van that these people had. And, I mean, these are teeth marks. I mean, big. And we have an ex-sheriff that was one of the witnesses. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of credibility. Anyway, I'm going to just meet you out for temporarily. I'm going to open it up for Mac, and then we'll come back and we'll open it up for everybody, okay?
All right.
Thanks, John, for coming on and letting us know what's going on there.
Okay.
Well, everybody, that was Throne from the Choctaw Reservation down in Mississippi. And now we're going to go to our good... Uh-oh. What happened to Mac? Here's Mac. Oh, here he is. I'm sorry, Mac. I lost you for a second on my little switchboard. How are you tonight?
Good. Don't scare me like that. I'm still here.
Well, Mac, you know, Tyrone was talking about the video that he had, and you're going to talk about the video you had. Tell us about the video, tell us about what you were able to determine on that.
Okay.
And let me ask you this. Mac, when you first thought this, you were kind of hesitant about saying that it had a snout, that it wasn't a bear, but it had a snout and things like that, because you're thinking that people just wouldn't believe that, right?
Yeah, the first video, the very first one, I took of the lair that I found. Now Tom and Jim and the group had discovered another lair way before I did. But this lair that I got is like 3 miles away from theirs. And Ferrant was with me that day. I discovered that lair, but he was up in a different position, different place. Now, there is where I determined after studying, not just that video, I made 20 more videos since then. I'm not saying too much about it because I've dissected and studied this thing, 1,000 times. And I got pictures and things that people would not believe it's on that first one. And our ancestors talked about, and I think my ancestors, Cherokee ancestors, talked about the shapeshifters and stuff like that. Well, they couldn't prove it then because they didn't have the technology. We have the technology. We are just now beginning to prove to the world. In the past 20 years, we have the technology to do, to open up things that's going to be just unbelievable to people. Now, going back to what we were talking about, yeah, the group, I didn't want to talk about mine too much because mine was where the Ron and I had been investigating more was more the dog face type Bigfoot. But there, I believe there's three, maybe four different groups in about a 5-mile radius there for Tom Biscardi, Jim, and Coffee, Bill Coffee, well, they were the lair there. What I put together is more like the natural, what people say, Bigfoot. It's a different type of Bigfoot. It's more the what people expect Bigfoot to look like. Is my investigation. Now, like I said, I've got 20 videos, but I've got, look, probably 6,000-8,000 pictures now. I've taken, I've been slow. I don't mention that to my wife, my family. Ron and I have talked about it. I'm just making sure that I dot every I and cross every T before I say what I believe. It's really happening.
And I understand that. And, Mac, here's what I wanted to let you know, you and Tyrone both. There's a lot of people out there that when they describe, of course, the standard description of a Bigfoot is your normal 7 to 9 foot creature, you know, heavy, big, thick, wide shoulders, no neck, you know, the big head, right? And, and some of them are human-looking, some of them are more ape-looking, or, you know, you get, for instance, a skunk ape is more orangutan-looking.
Right.
Or, you know, some of the people that have described it anyway. And and there's differences. And then we've also had descriptions. And then there's a 4 to 5 foot creature, which a lot of people have described, and they're smaller. And, and at first we thought it was probably a small baby or a small child Bigfoot. But no, some of these are actually, they look like they're fully grown. And, by the reports that we have. Now, here's something that's really unique. And we never would have ever thought that would have happened. And we actually, by accident, ran into this about 4 or 5 years ago. And what happened was, in Wisconsin, we did an investigation of a guy that worked for DNR, Department of Natural Resources. He had a contract to clean up roadkill. Now this is a nationally televised news article. I have it on my one of my 42 or 52 different videos that you see on my website. That's one of the news articles that's on there, and it was nationwide. And he had seen this Bigfoot, and he crawled into his truck. He just put a doe, about 150-pound or 200-pound doe, in the back of the truck, and he was getting in his cab to fill out the paperwork, and he got the paperwork tablet out, and he started writing down on it, and all of a sudden the whole back end of the truck went down. And he looked in the rear mirror and through the back window, and he seen this creature, and it had a dog-looking face. It had fangs and teeth. It looked, the face like a dog, some people say werewolf. It's not a werewolf. But, so that people don't mistake it, like say werewolf, and think it's way out of the ordinary. We say dog-faced. It makes it more appropriate.
Right.
And anyway, he took off with the deer, and he took off with the steel step that goes up to the back of his truck. And they didn't find it till about 3 or 4 days later. And they found remnants of the deer, and they found that steel step. A few weeks later, this guy could not do anything publicly anymore. Once he was on the national news, because he had a contract with the DNR, they threatened to you know, lose his contract on him.
Sure.
If, you know, he was making all kinds of stink about it, right? And he wasn't making stink. He was just reporting what he saw.
Exactly.
So, anyway, he had to be very careful because he got some phone calls from, you know, from the state telling him, you know, to back off and step out of the limelight. And he did. But he called us low-key, and he had found some some scat. And I'm talking almost, it looks like human scat, but it's big, real big.
Yeah.
And so, you know, through all those incidents, we started branching out. And all of a sudden, in the past four years now, we've had about seven different encounters with a creature that has a dog face. Two in Minnesota, Canada, two. Wisconsin, always. We went up there and we did a very large expedition up there in Canada for about a week, I think. West Virginia, two sightings, different ones. Another was in, where was it? West Virginia, I can't remember off the top of my head, I can't remember the other state. But anyway, we've had several sightings of this happened. And I'm telling you, it's
I believe
the description is exactly the way you guys are describing. So anyway, I'm not going to belabor it. Let's open the lines up for everybody, and then we'll just kind of all discuss these different things. I got Chris, you're on. Anthony, you're on. Taron, you're on. Mac, you're on. Steve, you can come on, buddy.
Yeah, I'm here.
Gentle Giant. For everybody that don't know, Steve is a Gentle Giant. And the reason we call him Gentle Giant, he's 7'4" tall. He's a very good friend of ours. We've been friends for a long, how many years? About 3, 4, 5 years now?
About
long time.
Almost 8 years.
Yeah, it has been 8 years. Gosh, time flies. You're right. So anyway, I'm opening up the line. Does anybody have any questions or anything to say about any of the things we talked about tonight?
Well, Marco Bill, we were talking. You're talking about dog-faced creatures, the reports that I got, and plus we had a local folk that went out in the woods and told me that these creatures came around their camp, you know, behind my mother's house, and the guy described one of the Bigfoot as having like the movie The Planet of the Apes, the orangutan.
Yeah.
If you've seen that movie, this particular creature looked like that particular character in that movie. And so
And that's what I was talking about. There are some that like the skunk ape and things like that are more orangutan looking.
That's
what I was
others
talking about.
Sure.
And Theron's, about there close to Theron's mother's place, that's the one that's more ape-like face that those creatures are. That's kind of what I'm putting together with all the videos and tapes and pictures I've taken. But the ones where Theron and I have been investigating, and look, I think Theron and I have got these, what we believe are creatures, are getting to where they don't mind us coming around. In other words, we try not to spook them. We try to leave them through and stuff, but we don't want to overdo it. We've taken our time with them and trying to get them to where it's okay for us to come in there.
Not a problem. Would you like me to send you guys some links for so you can compare them with other pictures that people have taken?
That'd be great.
There are links that have websites that have pictures of these creatures that are dog-faced.
Yeah.
I have a drawing from a lady that had a sighting of it. She made a drawing of it. I have all kinds of stuff.
Well,
now,
Michael,
would you like to have some of that information? I will send it to you.
You know,
that'd be great. That'd be great,
Mac and I are both artists, and Mac has drawn a picture of what he saw. He's had three sightings in his lifetime, and he's drawn real nice pictures of it. And I've my niece described the face of the Bigfoot that she saw three times, and I drew it as close as I could. She said that it's not exactly what you saw, but it's close, you know.
No, I understand. But what I'm going to do is send you stuff that other people have done, and you can compare it to what you guys saw.
Yeah.
You see? That's the way to do things. I mean, this way you have a complete, a completely different set of eyes that's seen the same thing or close to the same thing that you guys saw, and you can compare it and see that there are other people that have these types of sightings. Okay?
Hey, that's Marco, what I'm talking about. Marco, can I say something about Father Chris says about the tree to tree, the Bigfoot that went from tree to tree up in the trees and disappeared?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now, we've got a friend of ours that has seen them up in the trees, babies, seen the small ones up in the trees.
Yeah.
But now the one I saw, the first one I ever saw, was like 8 foot tall, had a tall head on it, but it was slender, but it looked like a huge spider monkey without a tail. You know, like it could
climb.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I saw. That's exactly what I saw.
It looked like it could climb anything.
I'm going to ask you a question. You guys ask you a question. After the show is over, after the show is over here, I want to ask you to go up on www.bigfootlive.com. That's www.bigfootlive.com.
Okay.
On the front, on the very first front page where it says Welcome to the Bigfoot Live Radio Show, right underneath it, it says Watch This. Okay? Click on that link. That is a video of a creature climbing a tree, and I have it I have the whole area magnified where this creature, you can see it. It's got a, like, you know, those special effect magnifying glasses on the video.
Yep.
So you can concentrate on that area and watch it, and you'll see a creature crawl up in the tree. What you don't see at first is that there is already another creature up there.
Right.
And the tree starts shaking, and you'll hear some chatter back and forth between them. And then you'll see the creature crawl back down from the tree, and you'll see him walk away. Okay? And it's I mean, that's a pretty neat thing, I think. I mean, we've got several videos, I mean, a bunch of videos, but that was one of the more, you know, really neat ones. We've got several that we've got them, you know, where we've got them coming around a corner and coming up a hill and knuckle walking and stuff like that.
If a person's ever seen a, like, a spider monkey travel through trees or through really fast, that was as fast as that. The one I saw could travel that fast. I'm talking about, think about being that big and traveling that fast, you know, up through trees. They can hide, get away quick.
Yeah, the one saw, it hit the tree, and it was around to the back of the tree, the other side where I couldn't see it, in like 2 seconds.
I'm telling you.
It was back there.
They're so strong.
Yeah.
And elusive.
Now, Anthony's friend has the same occurrence as you did, Chris, where he's seen these creatures. They were in the trees, and they were jumping from tree to tree and jumping around, chattering back and forth, everything. Right, Anthony?
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir.
That's amazing.
See? Now, another guest we had on about 2 months ago now, from Colorado, and he lived up near the mountains where a recreational area is, and his experience was there was these creatures in the trees, and he saw their eyes at first just like you did, only you saw yours on the ground. He saw them in the trees, and they were making all kinds of noise and shaking the trees up, and then they started jumping out and they disappeared and, you know, took off, you know, from, so I mean, the
exactly.
same, if you see what I'm saying, there's not a, I mean, it's pretty neat. I mean, there's, so it, you know, most of the people when they report Bigfoot is a ground thing and it's walking and running. You know, along you know, on the road or in the woods or whatever.
Well,
you know,
most people got everybody believing that it's one big old huge Bigfoot that weighs 700-800 pounds, and that's not it. There are several types of sizes. I mean,
absolutely. And if I could, I'll describe to you several things that we know of the things that we have recorded. That doesn't mean it's the end of the world. that we're the only authority on this. This is what we, you know, we recorded in Florida, okay, down and around the islands around there. We've hooked up with a couple of people down there for a couple of years, and they had these creatures swimming from island to island.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they were seen, swimming, okay, from island to island. These creatures were not the great big heavy-duty 800, 900-pound creatures.
Right.
These creatures were about 5 to 6 foot, between 5 and 6 foot tall, thin and wiry, okay? Thin and wiry. They were more human, kind of the human-looking, but they weren't the great, big, gigantic creature that a lot of people denote. You see what I'm saying? So there's different ones, and that's what I'm trying to say. And not only that, even in the footprints, a three-toed creature, we know, we absolutely have positively identified that as a three-toed creature, okay? We have castings and everything to, you know, to substantiate it. There's a, you know, the regular, you know, Bigfoot, you know, five toes on each foot, like a human footprint.
Right.
The largest one we have is 23 inches. That's a pretty big foot.
I'm telling you.
And we have pictures and a cast of that. So, I mean, you see the differences that we get when we do these investigations, and many people have different sightings, and we can identify. That's why we ask so many questions, to try to find out, you know, as much information as we can on the sighting, on the visual, as we can. And, you know, everybody asks us, and everybody always says, and you hear it all the time, well, why didn't you take a picture of it? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Chris, when you seen that 9-foot-tall thing standing right beside you 25 feet away, what was on your mind at first?
Get into the light and get away from this thing.
Get the hell out of Dodge. And that's the thing, the first human instinct that would happen.
Yeah.
Because fear overcomes everything else. And when you don't know something, even if you're aware of it and you don't know something and there's a question mark, you're going to go for the question mark that's on the safe side to save your butt.
Yeah.
And that's a normal human instinct. Okay? And so taking a picture, you know, running up to it and trying to take a picture, or running up to it and shaking its hand or something, that's not a normal human function.
Yeah.
What about when you pull up close to one and it's 12 feet from you and you've got a 45 in your lap and you can't pull the trigger?
I've seen that. I've heard of that many times. And there's a reason for that. Most people, when they are confronted with trying to shoot these things, can't, because they're too human looking. They're too intelligent. And they feel like if they kill it, it's going to kill something that might be a part of them. And I've heard that 100 times from people that have been out hunting.
Is Steve still on? Gentle Giant?
Yeah. Steve, you're there, right, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Last week, he said something about you and your better half were coming through, like, the grapevine part of the country, or something. It was a desert, and it was hot. And in the far distance, you saw a little fog. And you can
It was in the winter.
Okay. But in the fog, you see like a foggy area, and right there you saw a creature.
What I thought looked like a creature, I mean, it was standing up or sitting down, one of the two, but it was looking around, and I thought, my God, that's a big animal. I never seen nothing that big.
Right. Well, the reason I brought that up is because I was talking about shapeshifters. On my video, I've got videos and videos of shapeshifters. And
right.
I said, I don't believe this, what I'm seeing, but it's a cloud, and they cover up the creature. That's
okay.
My theory right now, but I can prove it, but I'm waiting to get it all copyrighted.
Right.
No, I understand. And it's not a problem. You know, Matt, it's not a problem at all. Don't worry about that. You take it to where you need to have it before when you're comfortable.
Sure.
Because the very first thing that everybody says, as you probably know or will know, is as soon as you put something out there, I don't care how well you document it, I don't care how well you do it, there's going to be these people out there that are going to criticize you. They're going to say, oh, this is all a bunch of bunk. And just put on your thick skin. You know what you've investigated. You know what your eyes saw. You know what you've found.
It's
and
strange
that's the most important aspect of it. And that's you too, Chris. The same thing's going to happen to you and your friend.
Exactly.
You just have to put your head down and go charge forward and not listen to, you know, because some people are, you know, I say idiots. They're not idiots. They're just thick-skinned, and they don't want to take anybody else's view but their own.
You mean
they don't open their mind. They don't keep an open mind on things like this. And in order for you to be able to even get into the concept, the very first thing you have to do is have an open mind and say, even if you don't believe it, have an open mind and say, well, the probability could exist. And when you do that, you will allow some of that other evidence to come in. And then as proof becomes more evident to you, then you can substantiate yourself what you believe. We've always said to everybody, I'm going to tell you right now, Tom has always said it, he says it 100 times over, I'm not going to, you know, he never asked anybody to believe what he saw or what everyone's seen.
Sure.
Do your own
research. You see what I see, you experience what I experience, and you make up your own mind of what you saw. And I'll tell you the truth. 99% of the people that we've had with us that have had an encounter are a believer after they've been with us. And it's not because we've done anything special.
Sure.
It's just the fact that they've seen the proof that they need to see to be able to document what it is that they needed proof for. And we're not trying to convince them that they saw what they didn't see.
Sure. Marco, see? It's strange that a video can send a woman or a man to prison, but a video won't be proof enough to prove big enough. And
we've got videos, I mean, from way back to Ivan Marks.
Yeah, it's going to take a super shot.
Were, I mean, were reviewed by a professor, a doctor, some all kinds of experts and things, and they determined that they were valid. However, when you get into the community of the internet and the Bigfoot community, it doesn't make any difference if it's valid or not valid by a substantiated representative of science or anything else. What happens is, whatever the buzz, whatever the gossip, whatever the, you know, the thing is, the discredit, that's what takes the day.
Yep.
I mean, you know, that's what that turns everything upside down. And that's why it's so hard to believe anything you see on the internet, because of that. Because you don't know if anybody's telling the truth or not. Because there's so much garbage out there and so many stories and fabrications, you know what I mean?
And you know something else, while you guys were talking about the Bigfoot thing and everything else, I was sitting back listening to you guys about the Bigfoot phenomena, things going on, people, sightings and stuff, and I had a little bit of a flashback. This happened about 1978 or 79, and I kept telling people for years I've had only 11 encounters, but I take that back. I had one more encounter. And it was back in 78 or 79, and I don't know if you ever heard of this place, Bill, but it's called Rancho de Diablo. It's in a little tiny town outside of Redding, California on 299 West, and it's a ranch. And a lot of people have seen a lot of strange creatures out there, including myself. And at the time, I didn't think anything of it until now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know exactly where this place is at, and I've heard a lot of stories about French Gulch, but I haven't heard anything else until this year just kind of like clicked in my mind. I thought, oh my Lord, there's one other place I know of that Tom or nobody else knows.
Sure. Well, guys, I got to tell you, I've kind of went way overboard tonight, but I think it was an interesting conversation, and I enjoyed listening to all of you. And it's kind of fun once in a while to put all your put all of our eggs out there and let people you know, listen to us and hear some of the things that we're afraid to, well, that we don't want to, you know, really get out there yet. We're not, you know, because we're not positive on everything that we have. And we're never positive on everything we have. All we can tell you is what we see and what, you know, what we gather at the time. And we're not out there to make you believe. We're out there to give you information so you can make a decision on your own. And that's what it's all about. And I want to appreciate every single one of you guys. Chris, you're a new addition to our family.
Thank you.
We appreciate all of your efforts, and it takes courage to come on this show or any place and tell people that you saw something. The fear is that you're going to get ridiculed and people are going to think you're crazy, and they will. If you tell, you know, other people, they're going to think you're crazy, and that's just a thing you have to go through. But you can feel safe around us. We'll you know, we'll be here, and maybe if you see that we've all went through all this ourselves, that may help in a little bit to, you know, to help you along. It gets pretty frustrating sometimes.
It's a shame. It's a shame because in the near future, the ones who don't believe will be the ones who say, "Man, I was wrong. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is." God's trying to tell us that, hey, the end of time's coming soon, and we'll see more creatures at the end of time, more things that we discovered at the end of time. So that's what I'm looking at.
Well, it's happening every day. There's more calls now than ever before. I mean, on our hotline. I mean, it's a good indication that, and I'm not talking about people that are way out there in the wilderness areas or anything. I'm talking about people that are right there in towns, small cities, in the big cities, I mean, all over. Okay.
Sure.
And so, I mean, it's not limited to a specific area. These creatures are very, I believe, are very intelligent. They're very fast. They know how to hide themselves, or, you know, in their environment. They know how to use everything in their environment to their advantage for not being able to see them or to disappear type of thing. Some of it may be, you know, more than just the natural or more than just the physical. It may be supernatural. We don't know. We don't know enough about it yet.
Right.
And, you know, you brought up the thoughts of shapeshifters.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. I've heard of those, and I've seen those. I've had stories of those. Tom has experienced it personally.
Because I think the shapeshifters are what's protecting the Bigfoot creatures. I think they're smart, sharp, elusive, but I don't think they're as brilliant as people think. They're being protected by shapeshifter clouds and shapeshifters, and they inform them. They're informers and protect them. If you look, every acre of ground is different. There's an evil acre, there's a good acre, there's blessed, there's haunted, all kinds. But certain areas, like near burial grounds, you have evil spirits or good burial spirits. But that's where you see your shapeshifters, and that's where they're protecting. Every once in a while, a Bigfoot creature will slip away and get away, and that's why we see them. So
well, we have many legends from the Native American tribes that would tell us these different stories and different experiences with shapeshifters. And I have never experienced one myself, but Tom has. And
you will. When you see my videos, you will.
Okay, yeah. I want to thank everybody for coming on the show tonight. Gosh, Chris, thank you.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Anthony, always a thank you to you. Teron, thanks for coming on. Mac, Steve. And
you're
of
welcome,
course, Tim,
Marco.
He left us, and you guys all have a wonderful week. Let's say goodnight to everybody.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night,
John
Boy.
Yeah, John Boy.
Keep on Bigfooting. We'll see everybody next week. Good night now.
Thank you, Marco. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're rolling together.